there are times when when what I do is made easier for me by the work that is done by our children's message leaders. And I have a feeling you all may not remember anything that I say today. That's okay. We are in the middle of a sermon series that we have entitled The Story. And one of the things that we are trying to do is to talk a little bit about our story and how it fits within God's. And one of the things that we're trying to do right now is to give you an opportunity to hear a little bit from one another about your own stories. This morning's a little bit different because I don't know if you have heard, but the APNC's candidate for the next associate pastor is going to be preaching this morning. And he was asked to share a little bit of his testimony. The problem is every time I start to think about my story and sharing my story, it becomes a sermon. And I realized this week that in a lot of ways, every time I preach, I share a bit of my story. I share a bit of myself, that every sermon includes both God's story and my own. And I don't know any other way to do it. Every sermon is an attempt to share with you a little bit about the God that I have come to know and love, to share my struggles and my joys with that God. Every sermon is an invitation into a relationship with the God that has saved my life, the God that has given me hope, and the God that shapes the way I see the world. So this morning, I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to read together a bit of God's story. And then we can consider together how that story intersects with our story, with my story, and with yours. So let's pray together. Lord, we come. We acknowledge that it is not my story, it is not our story that gives life, it is yours. It is the story of your work in the world that saves us, that redeems us, that changes us. And so we come now asking that you would tell us your story, that you would change our lives and our hearts by that story. And remind us that our own stories, they are not distinct or separate. But God, that you have called each of us to participate in the story that you tell. And so we ask this morning that as we open your word and we hear your story shared, that you would give us the ability to see how our own lives intersect with yours. We pray these things in your name. Amen. This morning's scripture lesson is found in the book of Exodus. And we're going to start just with the story that we just heard. After the Israelites have crossed the Red Sea and they are out in the wilderness, Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some men for us and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand." So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the sun set. And Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the sword. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When I was a little kid, I remember many times I would go to my mom or my dad, and I'd ask them, "Well, what does this word mean?" And my mom and dad, without fail, would say to me, "Go and look it up." I'd ask my mom, "Hey, mom, I don't know how to spell this word. Will you tell me how to spell this word?" And my mom would say, "Go and look it up." Now, I am here to tell you this morning that if you do not know how to spell a word, it's not easy to look it up. That is perhaps another sermon for another time. But my mom and dad instilled in me a very strong sense of independence. Now, that sense of independence has served me well in my lifetime in a lot of different ways. I delight in a big problem. I love to step up to a challenge and see it well done. I've never had a problem putting in the hours and the work necessary to get something done. But it is equally true that this sense of independence that has been instilled in me, it can cause problems. You see, independence is not a Christian virtue. It's an American virtue. We have a whole day set aside to shoot off fireworks and eat bratwurst in celebration of our independence. Independence is a part of our ethos as Americans. It's a big part of the way that we define ourselves. If you were to ask 10 Americans what makes America great, 9 of them would probably say something related to independence. But God doesn't call the Christian to be independent. In fact, it would probably be more appropriate to say that God calls the Christian to complete and utter dependence. God calls the Christian to realize that their salvation cannot be won by their own merits. God calls the Christian to trust not in his or her own righteousness, but in God's grace and forgiveness. God also calls us as Christians to be so intertwined, so connected with every other Christian, that we could be different parts of the same body. That does not sound an awful lot like independence to me. Now, this morning's story is a story about Moses. Moses and this stick that he carries around, he calls the staff of God. If anybody could make a claim at independence, it'd probably be Moses. I mean, as long as he's got this stick in his hands, Moses has been pretty unstoppable. Moses used this stick to deliver Israel from her enemies, to turn the Nile River to blood, to bring the plagues on Egypt. When he waved this stick over the Red Sea, the seas parted and the Israelites crossed to the other side on dry ground. When people were thirsty, he struck a rock with this stick and water poured out. You know, as long as Moses has this stick, it would sure seem that Moses didn't need anybody else. So when the Israelites came across the Amalekites in the wilderness, and these Amalekites wanted to go to war, Moses says to Joshua, "Look, you go find some people to fight. And you go out there and fight them. I'm going to take my stick, and I'm going to go over here and stand on a hill." And Joshua says, "Yeah, you are. You go take your stick and go do your thing." Right? And so Moses does. He goes over to the hill, and he raises the staff of God up into the air, and the Israelites dominate the Amalekites. As I've already mentioned, Moses has done some pretty amazing things with this stick. the power of God has been revealed through it. Waters have been moved, plagues have been brought. But as the battle wears on, Moses begins to struggle a little bit. He begins to struggle to keep this thing up in the air. His arms and his shoulders are growing tired. He's been standing all morning, so he sits down on a rock. But he's got a job to do. He's got a job that nobody else can do. The problem is the weight of that staff is becoming too much. As a pastor, there is a very real temptation to assume that if it's going to get done, I've got to do it. Now, there's also a temptation for you all. There's a temptation to assume, well, that's the pastor's job. Which works great for me because, like I said before, I have got this independent streak. It seems, rightly or wrongly, that I have nearly unlimited confidence in my own ability. I believe I can do it myself, and I want to do it myself. And if you try to tell me I can't do it on myself, you're going to get on my list. Just so we're clear, if you get on my list, it's not that big a deal. Right? But if you stay on my list for too long, then you end up on Jamie's list. And if you end up on Jamie's list, may God have mercy on your soul. Anyway, I believe I can do it. I want to do it. I believe God has called me to do it. I believe God has empowered me to do it. But the weight of that stick is enough to wear anybody down. In the last 3 months, the broadness of my shoulders have been pointed out to me more times than over the last 42 years of my life. And every time I have thought to myself, okay, yeah, I got this. I can do this. But this morning's passage, it pulls me up short a little bit. It reminds me that even something like a stick, when you bear it on your own for too long, becomes more than you can keep up in the air by yourself. It reminds me that it's often not the size of the burden that wears us out, but the length of time we try to keep it in the air by ourselves. It reminds me that every one of us needs an Aaron and a Hur to help us keep our hands up. I'm reminded, too, that I'm no Moses. Which is probably good because Moses spots has way too many S's in it to be able to say quickly. Independence isn't a Christian virtue. God isn't calling me to do this on my own. God is calling us to move into the battle together. In some ways, this is a bit of a strange candidating sermon. It's not often that a pastor looking for a job will stand in front of the people who will soon vote for him and say, oh, I can't do this. All the job search websites encourage you to not start your interviews that way. To be clear, I don't feel like I have taken on more than I can handle. But I am reminded that independence is not a Christian virtue. That we aren't called to do anything on our own as Christians. Each of us is in desperate need of a God who saves. See, it wasn't Moses who delivered the Amalekites into Israel's hand. It was God. Moses didn't save anybody. But Moses couldn't even have done his part without Aaron and Hur. Each of us, as much as we need God, need more than that. Yes, God is enough. And yet, at the same time, God didn't create us to go through life independently. God created us to be in community with one another, to take care of each other, to hold up one another's arms when we lack the strength to do it ourselves. I'm here to tell you this morning that I, on my own, am inadequate for what God has called me to do. I'm also here to tell you that you, on your own, are inadequate for what God has called you to do. Now, I trust that God will do the work through me that God wants done. And I trust that God will do the work through you that God wants done. But we all need to come to the realization that the work God wishes to do through us is not work that can be done alone. While it may be true that that's the pastor's job, don't be too quick to assume that it's not also yours. Nobody is adequate on their own. Sometimes God calls us to be Moses, and sometimes God calls us to be Aaron or Hur. I will do everything I can to trust and to live my part of God's story and to do what it is that God has called me to do. But what's your part? What is your part in God's story? What is it that God has for you to do? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.